Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Junktime AFL Podcast, around 16-2019. We come to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who is... How you going, buddy?
I don't like the way you're reveling in this, Michael. Hello, Junktimers. I've come straight from the footy.
You have. I literally met you out the front of Wayne Jackson Studios. We had a very important engagement today to get this on tape. You've come from the game, straight from the game, and you're in a corporate event today?
Yes, I was at the Carltonians.
The Carltonians. What are the Carltonians, Adam?
So the Carltonians, like it's a coterie group.
Sure. And what part of the mafia do they come from?
I could get you killed for that. I know people now.
Are they pure Sicilian?
Yeah. I know people. Actually, I had to do a couple of bits and pieces for the Carltonians.
Really? I mean, like cut up a horse and put it in a bed?
They need to justify your ticket is the way that I was put to me.
Justify your ticket?
Yeah. So, because you have to pay to be a part of it. So, to be... Okay.
You've had a big afternoon.
I have.
We'll start off with the question again.
Yep.
What are the Carltonians?
So to be a Carltonian, I thought it was like some sort of inside crew that you were asked to be a part of. But it turns out if you've got the money, you can be a Carltonian.
You can pay your way in.
Yes. So I'm pretty sure Essendon have the Essendonians.
They do. They do for a fact. Yes,
and
that's true.
I'm not sure if every club has sort of an inside group. So it's not, you're not at the president's lunch. You're at the next one. So... Mark, what's our...
Neil?
No. What's our...
Harvey?
No.
Jackson?
So I've been drinking.
Le Doudache. Mark LeBlanc.
Matt LeBlanc. He was a former president of the coterie group, of the Carltonians.
Oh, okay. That's how he got his leg up being, the successful president that he has been so far.
Succession plan.
Yeah, succession sure.
Plan. Well, yeah, so three, very powerful.
Sure, gotcha.
Very powerful. So I'm assuming that every club has, so it's not the people who are at the president's lunch. It's like a secondary group.
No, I know what you mean. Like, I feel like they're around. I don't know if they're around anymore, but they used to be around, and they were called WASH. We all support Hawthorn, and I feel like they might be the Carltonians. Of the Hawthorn version. That's the only one I know.
Jeez, I fucking hate that name.
Yeah, sure.
But if I met anyone called who was from WASH, I would fucking stab them.
Do you reckon though? Do you reckon though? The Suns have too many secondary.
There you go. Oh, I'm not. I don't go to the president's lunch.
No. I'm a secondary group. You know, I'm not a bigwig. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't own my own. I own my own car wash here in the Gold Coast.
I don't own my own 4D cinema. I'm a Suntonian. I lurk in the background.
Yeah, man. I mean, the time zone. So I work there. I don't own it.
Yeah, exactly. So I had to be a part. There was like, they were giving away tickets to Front Bar.
So you are a member of Carltonians?
No, because it's $4,500.
Oh, fuck that.
To be a member of the Carltonians.
To get what?
Mate, get a lunch every
second
week.
You're giving money to the club, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah, you basically, you're giving money to the club.
Donation.
Yeah, and you get to go to a really nice function every second week. So if you were a heavy drinker, say like me, and if I rate it, so say 11 games, $400 a game.
Uh-huh.
How many beers could I get for $400, you reckon?
11 games, field Etihad. I mean,
$8.
Are they heavy beers? Are they?
Yeah, no, they're heavy during the day.
Okay.
So $8, so that's 50 beers.
Mm-hmm.
So if I went early... If I got there at the start of the Carltonian...
Because you're a passionate Carltonian.
And stayed to the very end, whether we lost or won.
Uh-huh. You can hang around until the other team sings the song.
Yeah. So 40 minutes beyond.
And usually the Carltonians, I imagine, are leaving at halftime.
I was very keen to leave very early. And then... See, this... Okay. We'll get to this in a second. If I had 50 beers per session...
Uh-huh.
Then that would almost justify me being a Carltonian.
Carltonian.
You think I should do it?
I reckon you should sign up, mate. Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
I reckon you got to game high, mate. You got to be on the board. You got to be on the board. I don't think you should be president because you need a lot of money to be president. Like, and I mean, like, you know, a lot of money, like, you know, like, you need fuck off money.
Question without notice.
Oh, God. Not again.
Do football clubs at the elite level have the board like you see at a lower club where it's like president, treasurer, captain, coach written on the thing? Do they have that in, like, say at Waverley where Hawthorn train?
They'd have.
If you went in there, would they have that board like they do at lower levels?
I reckon they would. I don't think they'd have board members on the I don't reckon treasurer nowadays. I think treasurer was probably a bigger deal back in the day.
Yeah.
And also, I reckon there was a lot of treasurers back in the day just pinching a lot of fucking money. But you'd have president, obviously.
Yes.
You'd have captain, coach.
But do they have that on a board the way that, you know, lower clubs tend to do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know going back to my old club, St. Mary's, now St. Mary's Salesians, and they do still have my name on the board for our best first year player in 1998 D4 edition. No big deal. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to bring it up again.
They had best first year player.
Best first year
for
player.
For
D4. Yeah, you know, he's pulling up there. That's something I can show my grandkids and say, hey, look, granddad wasn't always a pathetic loser.
They'd be like, granddad, you're embarrassing.
He used to get a kick every now and then. So, go to the function. How many people at the function?
It's probably about 150, 200.
And you were talking about earning your keep. You had to earn your...
Yes. So, they needed me. They were giving away tickets to the front bar.
You work on front bar. Great show.
And so I had to be a part of the auction.
Oh, okay. Get
so
up there.
So they were auctioning away a couple of tickets that Andy Maher had provided to the Carltonians.
Yeah, sick.
And so that went for $1,500. That was a pretty easy auction.
Like, that's pretty cool.
You know, whenever you do a gig, I don't know whether you've done this, but they're always like,
I've done a fucking gig, mate, okay? I've done a fucking gig in my time.
Not a good one, though. Not a good one. But they always say, can you run the auction? You're like, I don't want to run an auction. I'm a comedian. I don't know how to do it. Real estate agents are fucking great at it.
Yeah, for sure.
Comedians are not, because you're always like, have we got any more money? I go, I don't think they like me anymore. I'd be a terrible auctioneer.
Absolutely. And that's also like putting a comedian in the role that they're not meant to be in. Like, they always go, a comedian can do whatever. They go like, oh, you're a funny guy. Come and do 10 minutes at a funeral. It's like, no, that's not how it quite works.
Wow, it depends on the funeral.
We did a Hawthorn gig at the Comics Lounge about 2014, I think, where I first met, I believe, Craig Coombs, friend of the show, the lovely Craig Coombs. Yes. Hope you're feeling well, Craig.
That's where you got your photo with Rowan Shoemakers.
Rowan Shoemakers. And I went backstage. And there was a guy with red hair, right? Just a guy with red hair.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I can't believe you haven't spoken to him.
No, I went up to him and I kind of shook his hand and I said it kind of under my breath, so I wasn't quite really sure, like, if he heard me or anything. And I said, oh, that's Kyle Chaney. And it was like, nah, that was just the dude there to do the auction. But I was like, oh, you look a bit like Kyle Chaney.
But that's okay, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I don't think you heard me, but I got away with it. I got away with it.
But he would have been happy to be... called Cold Tony.
Well, he got up there and did the proper auction. He's like, you know, ding, sold. Like, you know, and that's
they're
not
really good at
us.
It. That's what real estate agents, and you know what? Real estate agents love doing that. And they're happy to do it, and I'm happy for them to do it. Whenever I do it at a footy club, they'll be like, mate, do the auction. Like, do you know anyone in real estate? They're like, oh yeah, Davo, mate, fucking loves it. I go, get him up.
Yeah.
He fucking loves it. He can talk about how close the tickets are to the amenities. There's a primary school nearby. It's fucking, this house is fucking up
absolutely
for grabs.
And you know that the prize they're going to win is perfect. And it's they're very trustworthy.
It's the best prize.
So, okay, let's go through the day. So, what are you doing? So, you're at the function. You go out to a certain seat during the game?
Yes. So, they give you seats. And for the first three quarters, I was quite happy. I actually, there was security walking up and down. And I said to security, can you kick me out? And he said, he kind of laughed. I'm like, I'm not fucking joking, mate. I would like to be removed. He just kind of laughed. And I was just like, I wonder how hard it would be to get someone kicked out. Like, if... say you're being a fuckwit at footy, which is not hard.
Yeah.
But for someone to come over and go, which guy? Then other people around you who've obviously texted would go, Michael Chamberlain.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
How much of a dickhead? Do they have to watch you? Do they have to see what's going on? Or do they just go, nah, you're gone?
Take your word for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good point, actually.
Yeah.
So halftime, you go back into the lounge area?
Yeah, so halftime I had to help out with some raffle draw.
Oh, fuck. They got you working hard, man.
They did have me working hard. And here's...
Did you get paid for this shit or did you get paid for the free lunch?
Yeah, well, that's a free lunch. So you got to earn your keep.
Fucking hell.
So I go back in there and then the girl that was running the afternoon, Ash.
She has a name, Rebecca Judd, okay?
No, mate. She's in... they're in Broome at the moment, if you look at their Instagram. Ash goes, so what do you think you do in the second half? And I said, well, I'd get rid of fucking Lachie Plowman.
Okay.
And...
Oh, God, she's going out with him?
No. But
married
the crowd,
to him?
No, nothing to do with that. Okay. The crowd's just like, ooh, and it's like... And I wanted to fucking go the crowd.
The mum was there, like the mum, dad was there, like...
Don't care.
Okay, I thought you stepped in something there.
No, but everyone kind of went against me. It's like, have you fuckheads not seen... Like, I wanted to snap.
Yeah, okay.
And just go, have you fuckheads not been watching this game?
Yeah.
And... They just got all antsy at me.
Can I raise the point about the football media very quickly?
Please.
Do you find it a bit interesting that the football media get time off during the season?
I am horrified by
it. I think to myself, you've got 24 weeks, not even a year, it's not even barely half a year.
Yeah.
You've got 24, 25 weeks maybe. Okay, you got to do shows.
Couldn't agree more.
And yet they still get like a 2-week period off or a 3-week period off. They miss a Monday or miss a Thursday or whatever it is. And it's like, wait a second. Didn't you fucking sign up for this at the start of the year? Don't you look at your calendar and be like, oh, maybe I'll do my holidays in October.
You go, I can't
not in
work,
fucking July.
I can't work 25 Saturdays in a row.
I find that absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, I'm stunned by that.
I find, you're watching the shows and like, oh, they're not here this week. And then you look at their Instagram and they're, you know, fucking in
Bali.
You know, whatever, yeah. And Cuda. You go, wait a second. Like,
yeah.
I think you should. And also... Can I fucking tee off for a fucking second?
Here we go.
These cunts fucking don't work a fucking hour in their fucking day. These fucking cunts fucking show up. They're fucking first to fucking last to get there, fucking first to leave. And then everyone's fucking sitting around going, oh, gee, they're fucking working really hard. No, they're not. They're not working hard. Fuck these people. Work every fucking week like a fucking adult.
Who in the media is working hard? Like, does anyone in the media actually think, like, I know it's not our fault as listeners, that they have 9 jobs. And you go, it's your fucking fault for putting them all in the footy season.
Oh, fuck, man. I had a fucking job recently. They're like, oh, we got to take easy on his son because he's got to look after his kids. Like, the cunt's never looked after his fucking kids in his fucking life. Why would he?
Fuck, I love this. Chambo's kicked off.
Oh, God. Everyone else is like, oh, fuck you, fucking, oh, you got to get home to your family, boo-hoo. But everyone in the fucking media was like, oh, no, they got to look after their family. Oh, no, because how can they manage working those 1.5 hours a day if they didn't
That's
work?
The thing. They don't work that fucking much. Junk timers, like we, what do we work? We work an hour and a half a week and we are happy to be here. Imagine we took the middle 2 weeks of the year off and go, no, I can't kind of be fucked.
Yeah, like, we don't get fucked. What? And it's literally, and also literally, for a lot of them, it's literally an hour. Literally an hour.
So anyway.
Okay, get to the final quarter.
You know what's really disappointing is, and I'm sure you've been through this, is when your team starts to turn, okay, and you start to see light at the end of the tunnel.
40 points down, third term.
Not 40, mate, about 30.
No, it was 40, mate. It was 40. No, you did better. You did better than you think.
Was... You get close, and I'm almost not sure at this point whether getting close is better than being beaten by 4 goals.
Yeah,
because there's no hope. So I had checked out. I was like, all right, I've got to go do the podcast. I will leave halfway through the last quarter. I'll have one more beer, and then I'll fuck off.
Yeah.
And then you go, another goal. And you're like, nah, fuck, here we go. Mm-hmm. And I go, I'll go to the bathroom, I'll come back, another goal. And you're like, fuck, all right, someone brings me another beer. You're like, oh, fuck, we're on air.
Caltonius,
another goal.
On.
We get in front, and then I'm like, this is going to be like the Western Bulldogs 2 weeks ago. We're going to lose. We're going to lose a tight one. What is the point of living? And then I called in a bomb threat.
I think the words, if I can quote, if I can get it right from Tommy Lee Jones in Men in Black. I'll tell you what, not right. It's Will Smith. It's better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then Tommy Lee Jones said, try it. But in the end, spoiler alert, Tommy Lee Jones ends up with his love on the farm.
In Men in Black.
In Men in Black.
So is that a love movie?
I think you're going to be okay.
So anyway, we weren't really close. Melbourne had 3 people on the bench. We were fucking footy. Fuck. It's just so devastating. You know when you're just close.
Shall we tee off on people in the media again?
Well, you kind of enjoy that. You know what's good though is at least not a Fremantle fan. How about that? Two goals.
Two goals
in a derby. Two. You know when you're under the pump, you're under the spotlight, and you go, you know why they kicked two goals? Because Carlton fucking spooked them last week.
They were 2-19, Adam, in the end.
Apparently it's the worst goal kicking since champion data have kept.
No way.
Statistics, yeah.
That's actually fascinating.
So imagine the people at Champion Data going, oh, I hope they don't get another one. Don't get another one. Could you?
It would have been fucking Christmas Eve at fucking Champion Data. They would have been going, oh, yeah. Fucking 2-19.
Is there a team at Champion Data? Like, are there people or is there a dude?
Oh, there'd be a bunch of them, yeah. Yeah, I used to work in a place where it was Foxtel Comedy Channel back in 2008. I think Champion Data had the floor above us, I believe.
And it was a Ted Hopkins.
But it was
Hopkins
like mystical. He was one of the initial champion.
Yeah, Ted Hopkins.
Articles in the Herald Sun, yeah. Yes. Ted Hopkins, you may remember from the 1970 grand final, kick four in the second half.
You probably won't remember because you're fucking listening to a podcast. But yes, Ted Hopkins started Champion Data. So could you imagine for how long they've kept stats and gone, well, this is shit, until it starts to become relevant? Like you go, how many left foot kicks out in the full?
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's been nine in a row. And you're like, there's been nine left foots out in the row.
Sure. Hand candy, left side. Yeah. Put candy, yeah, right exactly. Side. Yeah. So they went down by, I'm trying to look at the sums here now, 91 points to the Eagles.
Yes.
Bit of talk. Well, bit of media talk, I suppose. And we're all, fuck it, fuck the media people. But a bit of talk that the Eagles may be going back-to-back this year.
Well, they're looking pretty good. I mean, the thing is, I think when you lose in a derby and or a showdown or a Q clash, it's amplified. Or a battle of the bridge.
Yep.
So you can't be embarrassed by that. But 2-19, like, fuck, they could have easily been 3-18. That's the thing. Like, you know, people say Fremantle was shit, but they could have been 3-18.
Well, I mean,
and that's a good run.
I mean, bad kicking is bad football, but Eagles move into that second spot now. And then you think about home games, home finals.
Yep.
And then, of course, there was Kane Corns during the week. He came out and labelled the Fremantle team as arrogant.
Yeah, and I agree with him.
He said they were arrogant. He talked about how Nat Fyfe and Michael Waters were mocking players during games.
So Fyfe went up, I think it was 2 weeks ago. It wasn't against Carlton.
Robbie
Gray
ruffled the hair.
Yes, ruffled the hair. And it wasn't like a little bit of a walk past ruffle. It was stand, ruffle, stand by you, keep ruffling, I'm ruffling. Still ruffling.
Yeah.
And ruffling your fucking head. And how Robbie Gray didn't turn around and fucking axe kick him in the face.
I think there is a long history of people ruffling the hair and people being incredibly annoyed at the ruffling of the hair. I don't think anyone can stand by that. No one can stand by the ruffling of the hair.
But if you, say, you're in your fullback line, you get caught holding the ball, and then everyone comes and ruffles your hair, you kind of have to accept that. That's kind of like the way that... No. I agree with you. I would fucking...
Yeah, no, you wear it. You wear it, yeah, but because you can't punch the bloke in the face.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get 4 weeks, but you want to.
But should there be like an allocated ruffle zone?
Oh, okay, gotcha. in the maybe a 25-metre mark.
If you fuck up within 25 metres of goal...
Yeah, sure, if you kind of...
Everyone... You know the way they do with the first goal kicker? They all run to him?
Yeah, gotcha.
You fuck up, everyone fucking runs to you.
And also in that 25-metre mark where usually the error is pretty important. Like you might kick backwards across the goal, it gets marked by the team, it's they kick you. A goal, therefore you can go. I think Connor Glass might have done it on the weekend on Friday night, did a similar thing. He was under pressure, but he did a kick and it got rebounded Collingwood. So then you're allowed to come in, you can ruffle the hair. Like there's a ruffle zone. Okay, another junk time idea. AFL, are you fucking listening?
Yeah.
I get the feeling they're not listening, Adam.
If you've got your 666 and your ruffle zone.
The ruffle zone.
If you've got a ruffle zone.
Okay, so when we set up for the 666, do we have to have, we've got two players in the goal square. Do we have four players in the ruffle zone?
No. So you don't want to set people up in the ruffle zone, but when something goes down, everyone knows. Like, thing comes up on the screen, ruffle.
Ruffle, okay. Ruffle zone. Okay, gotcha. And now, also, when we get to a goal review that comes off an error in the ruffle zone,
bang.
Does the scoreboard come up with...
Is he worthy of a ruffle?
Ruffle.
Ruffle, yeah. You go, was it... Oh, no, it looked like it was from 30.
Ruffle, and it's just like a little hand moving over the two Fs.
Yeah.
Ruffle. Or the umpire goes, you know, score review, ruffle.
Ruffle, yep. Triple ruffle. That was terrible. Like, that was embarrassing.
But Rossi wasn't having from Kane. He said, oh, rule of thumb. I don't really commentate on commentators' opinions. He said, so I was the keeper of that, make no comment. But he went on, made no comment, but he went on.
He's good with his no comments, isn't he?
And it's Ross. A very Ross quote here, so yep.
yeah, I'm not really here to validate. It's not only important if you value someone's opinion. Fucking fair whack to Kane Corns right there. It doesn't value his opinion. Yep. But then a great little quote here. So it's a moot point for me. It's a very Ross Lyon word to use the word moot point.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very on brand for Ross.
Exactly. That's like...
When have you ever used moot point in a conversation? hey, Adam, you know, do you want a beer at the Caltonis?
It's a moot point, mate. I don't want to get involved in that. But I'll tell you what. You know what I love about Freo? Even though he's gone... He's gone Kane Corns. He's defended his players. They're in the ruffle zone. You're allowed to ruffle. But Harley Bunnell, he's done another calf, which is about 17 in the last 3 weeks. But Freo have come out and said they hope, they've delisted him mid-season. They've delisted him and said, we hope some other club picks him up. Wait. Isn't that lovely of Freo to just go, this guy, fucking idiot, can't get a game. But you know what? We hope someone else picks him up.
So they have delisted him?
Well, they kind of...
Ross said he won't be around next year.
He won't be around next year. No, they have... Oh, I thought... I read an article that said that he had been delisted.
Can you delist a player during the year?
I reckon you can because Carlton did it with Byron... Jared Pickett.
All I'm seeing here is from 2-3 days ago, injury-prone Fremantle Docker Harley Bunnell finally has something to celebrate, the birth of his first child. Okay, now let me just go back a little bit.
And I just say that child did its calf as it came out of the birth canal?
So I think I've got the feeling that maybe the day Ross Lyon made the comments, the day after Harley Bunnell had his first child. So that's, I don't know if that's great form from people to be fucking just shitting on the great day they've had.
You can definitely delist a player mid-season if they're not going to come back and they're okay with it. Like, obviously, you do it with the management. But also, to come out and say, we think someone else should pick him up. We couldn't get him right. He went to Germany. He went to the calf doctor.
Dr. Calf, Munich. Yeah. The calf blood guy.
The calf blood guy. He went there, couldn't get it right, pinged his calf again. But...
Hey, what the fucking deal with the calf blood guy? Get to Germany.
What's your point, mate?
Why can't we just import some calf blood from Germany?
Why doesn't he ever fly over here?
Why doesn't he have a franchise?
What's his problem?
Just tell us about it. Like, it seems to me like he's just like, yeah, what you do is you just put a little bit of calf blood into the calf. It's very similar. Yeah. The calf is the same name as the calf, and therefore you put it in.
Have you ever seen, and I know you go to a lot of farms, have you ever seen a calf ping a calf? You know when they're running full out and they're going to kick for goal. You've never seen a calf ping a calf.
When there's a foot race.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. When the ball's out in front and they're chasing the leather, which is probably their dad. And they're like, dad.
We need to work out what other objects of the body, you know, have the same name as the animal. And then we just put those into, like if there's an animal called, you know, turf toe or something, we need to inject that blood. But it's pretty simple though, isn't it? It's like, how do you fix the calf? The calf blood. Just put the calf blood.
Well, why can't Dr. Calf come to Australia?
Yeah, Dr. Calf, get over here, mate.
What's his fucking problem? Here we go.
Has Dr. Calf Dr. Calf made me knock around with a few family members.
I think so. Yeah. There's a reason. There's a few reasons he can't travel. Yeah. Were they honest about Jordan Ngoi though? I mean, here's a man who just pretty much. Look, he's had his issues over the years, and they're very...
The dog was a problem for a while.
Wow. I mean, if the dog's going to break people's hands, I think putting the dog down was a good idea by Collingwood.
Yep, sure.
We believe Jordan so much, we're gonna execute this dog in front of the team.
It was weird to do it at halftime, though, I thought as well.
Mate, I thought no other player bought a dog. And then once it came out that maybe the dog didn't break Jordan Ngoi's hand, they went, oh, fuck, we may have gone a little bit hard. But Jordan Ngoi, there's a lot going on at Collingwood.
He's been caught overnight, over the day, over the weekend.
Yeah, over the weekend.
He's been caught using his mobile phone while driving.
You just... God, I mean... You know what I don't want? I don't want to know that there's a society out there that has Jordan Ngoi in control of a vehicle.
Yeah.
So we know, firstly, you know, he loves a bit of a glug, 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 get behind the wheel, what could go wrong.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what can go
wrong.
Blame
it on Jordan. The dog, too.
Yeah, exactly. And now, not only is he not glug, 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 but now he's like...
Tick, tick, text. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or he's on the gram. Maybe he's following us on Instagram.
No, but you know what he...
Junk.net for bud.
He's probably on Junk Bet.
Probably on junk bet, yeah, actually. He's probably laying a few bets.
Yeah, he's probably texting Jordan Stevenson, Jaden Stevenson, and going, mate, what do you reckon I get on? He goes, mate, kick four in the first.
I tell you, one of the bets that we were laying for the weekend was, will Jordan Goey get caught using his mobile phone while driving? And we can announce a massive payout.
So that's the... You don't get that anywhere else.
We're doing an early payout for a number of players next weekend. No, it... I mean, Jaden gets caught for the betting, but surely Jordan getting done for the mobile phone while driving.
So he only gets fined for this, but I would have thought that a man who has been drink driving has lied about it. I thought he'd lost his license. So when did he get his license back? I thought that should have been a big deal.
He might have had a small one so he didn't get to spend too long. He fought a dog, broke a hand while fighting a dog. And now the mobile phone. I'm sniffing around a life ban. Do you think a life band is too hard for John DeGoey?
Can you do two life bands? Can you be like...
Consecutive life bands?
Yeah. I would like to see that... Because, you know, everyone talks about how great the father-son is. What if father-son, life band?
Oh, okay. So Jordan has a kid.
Yeah.
Boy or girl playing an AFLW or the AFLM.
Or whatever sport they want to play.
Yeah, okay, okay. Could be netball, fucking fencing.
Netball, cricket,
fucking
whatever you want.
High jump, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Okay, so whenever Jordan DeGoey may in the future have a child, so when he may not want to. He may not wish to, he may not.
Whenever he has a young girl called Jaden DeGoey.
Yeah, sure. I think
that's a girl's name as well.
I actually think there's a pretty fucking fair chance that's going to be that child, from the moment they are born, they place their first breaths on earth, they are banned from all competitive sport.
Doesn't matter
for
what
the rest
they do.
Of their life.
Doesn't matter what they do.
I think that's a fair call.
I would love to see
looking at your mobile phone while driving.
Yep, the father son / daughter life ban. Because life ban means fucking life ban.
Fair enough. I got a mate of mine a few years ago. He got picked up by the cops for looking at the mobile phone. And he claims he wasn't. I believe him, actually. Yeah, I genuinely believe that he wasn't. But he said he was singing along to a song on the... He might have the phone hooked up to the radio.
Yep.
And the cop pulled him up and she said, you know, I saw you talking on your phone. He's like... I literally wasn't. I really wasn't. Like, check my phone. I haven't called anyone. Yep. Like, it's literally sitting there. And she said, why was your mouth moving? And he said, I was singing along. And this is a fairly white friend of ours. Mm-hmm. And they said, who are you singing to? And he's like,
please say horses.
No, it was the Wu-Tang Clan.
Mate, Wu-Tang.
But he went to court and he got done. He got done. Like, even though he was
I went to court.
He was like, I didn't do it. And like, he was like, I want to fight it. And he said everything that I said that it was true.
Fight the power.
I wasn't lying. And so that's why the cops are the low pigs and we need to start a revolution.
That is very true. I got done. I was on King Street in the city, just leaving one of the many fine establishments down King Street.
Oh, wait a second. Not one of the naughty ones.
Mate, I was on King Street, okay?
Oh,
you don't need to know details.
No, grow up.
Anyway, I was in the car and I was looking at my phone and I looked up and looked across and there was a cop in a cop car and he just looked across me and I went like mouth sorry and he just nodded.
Yeah,
just,
gotcha.
That was it.
So you weren't moving though, were you?
No, we were stopped at the lights.
Oh, okay. So you were in the car actually.
Absolutely. Okay, No, I'd done everything wrong and then he said, all good. And then I pulled up the next set of lights and I popped the cap in his bottom.
Don't you get the feeling though with cops every now and then, like they get the feeling that they do it as much as they can be bothered to do? So they go, I could see that. And
every
that can take me another, you know, half an hour. And, you know, there's more important. And in King Street and that area, like there's a bit more going on than
every time. You got Maccas to eat, you got people to bash.
And don't you find every now and then when they do pull you over that you just kind of roll up a couple of hundies and you just kind of slip them over to them and they kind of take it?
Oh, mate, I'll slip them a couple of blunts.
Thank you, Mr. Officer. Yeah. And, you know, see ya. Yeah, it'd be a shame. It'd be a shame. Shame for anything to happen to you at, you know, number four Smith Street.
Tell you what, once you know their address, mate, they're very, very compliant.
Celebration, Adam. Celebration.
I love a celebration.
You love a celebration,
I
don't
do,
you?
Did you
watch the footage last night? So umpire Shane...
Hang on, whoa. What am I celebrating?
Umpire Shane McInerney.
One of my favourites.
Umpired his 496th game.
Fuck.
Yesterday against the Dogs and the Cats. And then after the game... Quite a beautiful moment. They actually lined up a guard of honour
The two teams.
The two teams lined up for a guard of honour, along with the umpires of the day, and they let Shane walk through while holding the ball.
Now, do you think...
it was the darkest day in Australian sport?
Are the clubs told beforehand, hey, this umpire's umpiring his 496th game, mm-hmm. or are they aware of it? Like, are they told... like, two teams, and Geelong would have been pretty dark that they lost to Footscray.
Yeah.
Are they thinking after the game... fellas, doesn't matter. Don't worry about the loss. We're still two games clear. We may not get a home final, but...
one clear.
This
yeah.
man.
Yeah, he broke the record. He broke Hayden Kennedy's record.
496. Do you reckon they give a fuck as players? Like, are you there just going, I want to get off the ground. I want to hate this game. I want to leave it behind me. I don't want to celebrate this guy. He didn't give Joel Selwood 8 free kicks like he normally would.
Yeah, sure. I reckon they could give 0 fucks.
Yeah.
But they, from 1994, he's been umpiring. He's about 48, I think. And he talked about the relationship and the conduct of umpires is fantastic, okay?
Can I just say that you said he's been umpiring since 94, which makes it sound like a really big deal, but all this man has to do is run a lot.
Run 15Ks and blow a whistle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not unbelievable that he's got to 496.
And every now and then do that little square. Say goal review.
And occasionally they'd be like, oh, my back hurts because I've got to bounce the ball. Like, oh, yeah. Fucking get up.
Got to bounce the ball, but if it's a Freo game, then it's like two times and half.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, they're not actually working that hard. So I just go, I reckon the players would just be standing there, particularly if you've lost, you'd just be like, oh, fuck this guy.
Well, there's a quote from at the top. Shane McEnany says, there is still plenty of room for improvement when it comes to abuse directed at umpires from the crowd. Now, you can read that as in, like, he reckons that there needs to be less abuse of the umpire from the crowd. But you can also read that sentence as, there needs to be more. Like, crowds need to get better at abusing umpires on the field.
Let's have a look at Shane McInerney's career, right?
Mm-hmm.
496 games.
Not so 500, fucking whatever, loser.
Let's say it's 500, 2 hours per game,
yep.
1,000 hours out on the field, right? Mm-hmm. If you worked out how much he spends around the boundary, would say it would be like a quarter, because most of the game he would be in the middle of the ground, right? Because, you know, they go, oh, we cover from the crowd.
I reckon it would have been around when they had two people. Initially.
Oh, okay. So maybe. He's done a lot more.
And
but how much shit is he actually copping from the crowd that he can hear? You know, they say, oh, we cop a lot of shit. You go, yeah, but most of the time you're in the middle, you're in the corridor. They're not on the fat side of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And how much are they actually hearing from the crowd? Like, is everyone on the boundary going, hey, McInerney, you're a fucking dog?
And if we want to find a way to abuse someone in football, Adam, nearly 500 games, it's only done 2 grand finals. It's done 2004 and done 2007.
Here we go.
What a pathetic piece of fucking shit Shane McInerney is, eh? Hey?
Both.
What a fucking hack.
Can I just say, both Port Adelaide games too.
They were both Port Adelaide and one was a fucking whitewash.
Yeah, exactly.
He had nothing to do with the entire day.
Yeah.
It was like, oh yeah, Mark, Geelong,
yeah.
Goal, Geelong, all clear.
Yeah. The first one, Brisbane at Cook, they're fucking done. Port Adelaide, this is embarrassing. What's his name? Choco standing on the fence going, oh, Mark Scott,
you
fucking lost it.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, okay, so we need to improve our abuse of umpire Shane McInerney. So, Shane, fucking 500 games, 2 grand finals, I could do better than that, mate.
That is really embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pathetic.
So, do you reckon, like, since 2007, which was his last one, 12 years ago.
Yeah, long time, mate. Long time between drinks.
Do you reckon he's sitting there going, oh, I could have done 2011. I could have done... there was a draw. I could have done the fucking year after.
So he's done 18 finals all up. This is Wikipedia, right? So they may not be right. But 18 finals. Okay, you've been in the fucking league since 1994. You fucking umpired 18 finals. Bullshit, mate.
So that's one a year.
It's not even one a year. It's
that's
like
terrible.
Less than that.
You're
it's
fucking
less
embarrassing.
Than
that. That's
you're
less than us.
You're a fucking pathetic hack, Shane McInerney.
I hope that when they gave him the guard of honour as he walked off, they fucking let him know. Remember 2007? You were shit, mate.
Mate, you did nothing all day.
They won by 120 points. What did you have to do?
Have a snooze at Geelong. Fucking three-quarter time, did you? You got a football in real life, Adam?
Here we go.
Here we go. Okay, we get it down here. From Jackson. Hi, guys. A few footballers in real life sightings from this week. First off was... Mr. Pinch himself, your mate Adam, Ben Stratton.
Strat.
Who came into my work while I was working this week and bought a speaker and a tripod. Needless to say, we were all a bit starstruck, scared, and didn't ask for a photo due to the risk of a few pinches. Speaker and a tripod, okay. Setting up a bit of a music thing at his house, or
something he might take
on the DJ tour?
Nah, see, I reckon for the DJ tour, he would already have his setup. So he has gone outside of that, and he's setting up like some sort of, you know, open mic comedy night.
Oh, okay.
Or like a poetry slam.
Yeah, couldn't put it past him. Yeah,
yeah, because obviously, if like he's a DJ, he's already got his kit.
Yeah, I think a storyteller's night. I think for Strats,
that's not bad. Mm. Like the Moth.
Yeah, a little bit like that. Yeah.
So come out.
Strats starting up a pod.
Yeah,
I reckon.
Yeah. Tell me about the time.
Strats. We fucking own this turf.
If he fucking goes near us, oh, Noble Boy's dead to me.
Here we go. Second up, I was having a few frothies at a bar in Brunswick Street in Fitzroy when I saw none other than the Rat Pack member Ben Johnson stumbling his way out of the bar and into a taxi. Good to see, even in retirement, he's living up to the Rat Pack name. What bar do you reckon he's come out of?
Benny Johnson. I'm going to say he was either like...
I don't really know that area much more anymore.
Bimbo's has just reopened.
Oh, yeah. Okay, or, got a Bimbo's about him, yeah.
Or the Provincial on the corner, which is as the upstairs bar.
Yeah, I can handle that. I reckon Bimbo's, though. I like Bimbo's.
Yeah, it's just new. It depends on what time. Like, if it's, say, 4 in the morning, he might have been at Glamorama, but who knows?
Yeah, gotcha.
I don't want to cast aspersions on a great man like Ben Johnson.
Oh, no. We would never cast aspersions on people. Shane McInerney, you fucking... fucking done anything in life. We're going to hit the road. We are JunkTimeAlphaPod at Gmail. We are JunkTimeAlphaPod on Twitter and Facebook and the Gram. Go Hawks.
Oh, fuck.